Well, good morning again. You're right, yeah, wow. How rude, yeah. My apologies if I woke you up, yeah. Good morning. All right, yeah. I've been gone for a couple weeks. Many of you may not care, but that's okay. Obviously you don't, that's all right. My wife and I got to go on what I was calling our last vacation for a long, long time as our daughter graduates from high school after this next school year. So college begins, and then, you know, by the time she's done with college, our son will be in it. So it's going to be a good decade before we get to experience anything fun ever again. I know, woe is me, right? Yeah, I've watched some of you, like, you've figured out how to do it, so we need to learn how you've done it, and obviously, that's not necessarily true. We'll still enjoy life, but the expenses certainly will be going elsewhere for a while. But anyway, it's good to get away, as hopefully many of you this summer have been able to. I know we're right around the corner. School's ramping up. The ministry season here at the church is beginning to pick up. You know, right, August is always where, you know, people start coming back, and we start, the youth and children's ministry start to just gear up. And we're looking forward to and praying for just an exciting, you know, time of ministry and getting to know one another, doing life together, and reaching out to our community in ways that God will be leading us that we don't even know just yet. And I'm so thankful for Darren Grable and Neil Harris yet again to come in and just fill the pulpit and to take care of everybody and to bring God's word to life. And as you can see, if you're here a couple weeks ago, where Darren was talking about how my wife and I were wearing our Stanley Cup LA Kings shirts in enemy territory, and right there were the Vancouver Canucks in their town, not one person threatened us. I was a little disappointed. It's like they didn't even care. We even walked into the store, you know, and gloated a little bit, and the kid working there was like, dude, I don't care. I just work here. Like, well, all right, that was pretty anticlimactic. I mean, I've worn, for Dodger fans, Giants fans, yeah, if you're a Giants fan here, we'll need to talk, but I'm a huge Dodger fan, and I have worn my Dodger jersey in San Francisco before. This was before the Brian Stowe beating, so I probably wouldn't do it now, but, you know, I did have a guy in the parking lot threaten my life, not like he was going to kill me, but he wanted to inflict some damage. I'm like, all right, that'll make you feel better, dude. Dodgers, is the Brewers and the Giants, but I show up in my Dodger jersey, so I was kind of really, you know, picking at the scab, but anyways, thank you to them for filling in and getting us started on this Ephesians identity series that I get the opportunity to continue. I would like to open up in prayer, and then let's go ahead and get into this. God, blessed are you, the one who brings rain, and we are so thankful, God, and we know that this amount of rain is nice. The smells are wonderful, and just the reminder, God, that you are faithful is there, but God, you know our state needs so much more. But I also know, God, that this state needs to come and just fall to its feet and confess its sin to you and its lack of trust in you and its outright betrayal of your word. And I pray, God, that that begins right here in this room, that we as your people fall at your feet and just, God, we come to you and ask for your forgiveness at those times where we don't trust you, where we take the reins of our own lives and tend to just have them go out of control, and then we come back to you and say, God, now save us. And God, I pray that all the indications that we're hearing about this El Nino pattern that's to come is accurate, and that, God, that you will see to it that the rain comes. As I was flying over Central California and looking down on the farmlands, it really hit home. Man, there is so much need, and this drought is very, very real. And this entire country requires that water. And we just ask you, God, that you'd remember us, that you'd be faithful, and that you would bring the rain, and that, God, we would know that it was you, and then that we would proclaim loudly that it was you who answered our prayers, that it was you who provided and continues to care for those you love. Forgive us for when we turn our back on you and we say we don't trust you or believe you. Help us in our unbelief. God, encourage us this morning through your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, And I will be sitting down here in a little bit. I'm not out of the woods yet. For many of you knew that Tina and I went on a cruise, and you were worried about whether how my vertigo was. It was like God took it away for a week. Either that, or I was already dizzy, so the rock didn't even notice. I don't know, but I did just fine. You know, I didn't keep me from doing anything. We even went on a helicopter ride to a glacier and did some dog sledding, and even the helicopter ride didn't do anything. There was one point where we flew through a cloud. The helicopter kind of dipped a little bit, and I was reminded that I am susceptible to motion sickness. That's as far as it went. So God was good, and I hope God remains to be good in your life. I am not out of the woods. Like I said, I will be sitting down here in a little bit. The stool's there to catch me. But we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 11. I'm going to get there in a little bit. I want to set it up this way. Tina and I, before we moved up here into the high desert, we lived down in Orange County. Had the opportunity of living kind of right in the backyard of the TBN headquarters. You guys know what TBN is, Trinity Broadcasting Network? Okay, right there in their headquarters. I mean, I remember before the headquarters was this big, gaudy thing that it is now, but it is this big, gaudy thing now. And I don't know, on a whim, I took the youth group on a tour of the place. So let's just go check it out. Let's just go run amok in the TBN area. And we did, and we happened upon... Now the tour, it was kind of like, it wasn't even really a tour. It was like, hey, just come on in and run amok and have a good time in the TBN. And so I took that seriously. And we went into a room that said no access, because that's what I do. And it was the stage. If you've ever seen TBN, Praise-a-thon mean anything to you? Okay, so the stage was there where they do the praise-a-thons, you know, and the big kind of gold chairs and whatnot, and it was all there. The cameras were there, even the cue cards, you know, from the previous night's show were there, and I'm like, well, I got to go sit on the set. And so I hop over, you know, the little protective little, you know, hey, don't cross this. I'm like, well, no one's here to stop me except, you know, my own conscience, and apparently that wasn't working real well that day. And, so I hop over the little rope, and I'm running amok on the set until I hear, you know, the door start, and I'm like, oh, we got to go, kids, you know. But there I am kind of pretending I was on the praise-a-thon, making a fool of myself. But going into a place where I did not have, or we did not have access, hopped over the rope. In 2003, a family here at the church gave me an incredible gift. They set up with the racetrack down in Fontana that I would have the opportunity to pray for the fall race down in Fontana. So I think it was the Pop Secret 400 at the time in 2003. And I got to go down there and stand in front of 100 some odd thousand people next to Scott Hamilton and Brian McKnight and Uncle Joe from KLOS. And pray with this NBC camera in my face. And down there, I had this pass that in a lanyard that gave me access to everything, basically everything. That's what I was told. It was a hot pass. It means I could get into the pits before the race, not during the race, but I can get into the pits. We had access to a suite up on top that, you know, if we face forward, we could see the track. If we face backward, we could see the back of the track, but also we could see down into the garage. And we even had access to part of the garage down there, down below. And so, you know, my wife, let me back. I'm not much of a autograph seeker. When they're given to me, I think it's very, very cool, but I'm not one to go up to the individual and say, hey, may I have your autograph? Now, this lady that was kind of my host while I was down in the infield to do the prayer saw Richard Petty. I don't know if that name means anything, but this guy's a legend in NASCAR, of course. He's just kind of right across the way, and she says, would you like Richard Petty's autograph? I'm like, well, sure. It's Richard Petty, why not? And so I just thought she's going to walk over and get the autograph and come back and hand it. She brings Richard Petty over to me, and we have a conversation. And I meant to bring it. I have a lanyard, you know, with Richard Petty's autograph. Also Casey Kane and Elliot Sadler. I'm getting there. That's part of the story. So, Richard Petty, I'm like, I'm not going to say no to that. And so now I have this conversation with Richard Petty. I feel horrible for, you know, interrupting his time. He's far more important than me. He's Richard Petty. I'm Jeremy Balawake. Nobody cares, blah, 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 right? So the race goes on without a hitch. Elliot Sadler ends up winning. Casey Kane is knocked out of the race. So he's done, you know, mid-race. He's walking toward there in the garage area. And Tina goes, hey, who's that? I said, well, that's Casey Kane. She goes, you want his autograph? Well, no, not really. She goes, I'm going to go get it anyways. So, because Tina, it will walk up to people and just talk. Autograph or no, she'll just walk up and talk. Hey, you're Casey Kane. Can I have your autograph? Casey Kane's about this tall. You know, my wife's just under 6 feet. And he's like, so she's like, hey, Casey, can I have your autograph? You know. So we get the autograph. Yeah, which is cool. It's a cool memory. Now, here's why I'm telling the story. So Elliot Sadler wins the race. So we find our way down to Victory Lane because I have a hot pass. I'm like, hey, let's go to Victory Lane. Well, apparently we violated, or Tina violated an unspoken rule. She walked up to Elliot Sadler while he's celebrating winning the race. May I have your autograph? And now we're spotted. And we're told, get out of Victory Lane. You don't have access here. Well, we were told we do. Well, you don't. And we were booted out of Victory Lane, which is kind of a badge of honor. I'm like, yeah, we got kicked out of Victory Lane. We got Elliot Sadler. Didn't we get it? I think we got it. We got Elliot Sadler's. He's like, all right, you know, and gave it to us. And then we were kicked out. But we didn't belong. We were told loud and clear, you don't belong here. Get your stupid hot pass and your praying self. Get out of here. You're not welcome in Victory Lane. You know, we were told in TBN, get off the stage. You don't belong here. You don't have access. Can't we all relate? Maybe not to the Victory Lane level. Maybe not to the, you know, you're an idiot running around the TBN set level, but where you've been told, go away, you don't belong. Or you've just been excluded from something because you don't belong. You're denied access to maybe a family event. You're denied access to friends who are going to the movie. You're denied access of something going on that if you were invited, you would love to have been there, but for whatever reason, you were excluded. Can't we all relate to that? Maybe a group of friends went golfing, like, oh, I would have loved to have gone golfing. And you begin to wonder, why wasn't I invited? What is it about me? Did I do something? Did I say something? What's it about them? Where's our relationship going? Why is it that I wasn't included in that event? And so to find out that members of your family got together and you weren't invited, obviously it can hurt. To know that there's a party at work and you've not been requested to attend this party, obviously can sting. You know, as a kid, to know that all of your friends were going to the beach for the day but didn't call you to include you can make for a very downcast teenager. I mean, I remember as a teenager, much younger adult, some friends of mine would go to a concert and they didn't think to invite me. I thought, well, I would have loved to have been at that concert. And I immediately just go to feeling excluded because I wasn't included. And to be denied the opportunity to have fun, to be denied the opportunity to enjoy the company of your friends or your family or other loved ones, it hurts. And the hurt can often linger for a long time, and then animosity can build up. And so why is it that this pain of exclusion is so real and can cut so deep? So I did a little, the internet knows all. And so I went to Google and we spent some time together. And really, exclusion is intrinsically related to rejection. So whether or not, you were excluded because this group of people wanted to reject you, that may not have been, it may have just been they thought you were busy, or, they just didn't think to call you, or their phone didn't work, or what. I mean, it could be a litany of reasons as to why you weren't included. But all we know as the excluded is that we've been rejected, yeah? I mean, from our perspective, this is what it seems like. I've been rejected because I was not included in whatever was going on. So exclusion is intrinsically related to rejection. And when we've been excluded from the family gathering, from the friend's movie night, or participation in a game or a sport, the feeling of rejection is all too real. And I see heads bobbing. So a lot of us, if not all of us, can relate to this in some fashion. And so to be included in life's events, it feeds our base desire to belong. And that's going to be kind of this idea of today, this identity idea, is that I belong. I mean, that's what we were told in 2003 in Victory Lane. You don't belong here. That's what we were being told at TBN, which at TBN it was fine to be told that. You don't belong here. I know I don't. We're just here having fun at your expense, The Victory Lane one kind of stung a little bit, like, hey, that was kind of rude. We're just fans here, but nonetheless, we crossed a line. But to be included in life's events, it feeds our base desire to belong, to be social, and to thrive in the company of others. And this is why then exclusion hurts so badly. We've been made to feel as though we do not belong. So the first point that I want you to write down is when we are excluded, it means we are denied access. When we're excluded, it means we're denied access to a lot of things. We're denied access to the relationship dynamic that would and could have taken place had we been included in the event. We're denied access to the experience, the fun, the laughter, the joys, the tears. We're denied access to the memory of that event. You know, and so now we're dependent on other people that were there to fill us in on what we've missed out on. And we weren't there for the inside jokes. We weren't there for the cool moment, the story, you know. And so when we are excluded, it means we are denied access. And exclusion then from key events or from key gatherings can then lead to low self-esteem, a flawed sense of self-worth, and eventually loneliness and or depression if exclusion continues. And furthermore, the denial of access creates animosity between the included and the excluded. Ever felt that? It's more so from the excluded point of view, right? Because you're feeling rejected and you're responding to that. And sometimes we respond maybe in a harsh way, say things we don't mean, or we just go about it in a way that just that then lends the included to feel animosity toward the excluded. And so as we look at our identity in Christ today through the lens of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11, we're going to see that Paul deals with this idea of inclusion and exclusion, and we're going to glean from them then, what does that mean for us today? And so here's the good news, that Paul deals with exclusion and inclusion. And so we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Now, I remind you, last week Neil talked about that it's through grace that we've been saved, and that we have been made alive, that we were dead and now we are alive, that Jesus did not come to make us good, to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And so now in Christ, we have this new reality. And so Paul then with that says in verse 11, therefore, because of what I just said, because of this new reality, because you were once dead and now you're alive, because you're a sinner saved by grace alone, therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles, non-Jews by birth and called uncircumcised, which is just another way of saying a Gentile, by those who call themselves the circumcision, the Jews, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember, as I read at communion, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But, here's one of those glorious buts of the Bible. There's the bad news. You were excluded, but now in Christ, you who were once far away, you who were once excluded, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, this is a linchpin verse right here, verse 18. For through him, that is Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Verse 19, consequently, so because of all of this, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. I mean, this is a letter, at this point of the letter, this is now Paul saying, let me talk to those of you who up until this time have been excluded from everything God was doing. And they were it was even worse for them because they were living with and amongst and able to see those who were included at that point and seeing how they had everything that they need. God was blessing them. God was with them. They had this unique relationship with God. And the Gentiles who were excluded had no hope and no God. And Paul is saying, man, don't forget where you were. And don't ever lose sight of the impact of the cross, because that cross took you excluded Gentiles and included you, grafted you in to what God has been doing all along with the Israelites. And so what Paul is saying, because of everything I said, because you're no longer spiritually dead, but now you are spiritually alive due to the grace of God in Jesus, remember who you were, and don't ever lose sight of who you are now. Paul is calling on the Gentiles to remember from where they've come, from whence they've came, from excluded, or from whence they've come, from excluded to included. Paul says to the Gentiles, remember before Jesus, before his ministry, before his death, you were excluded from everything God promised to his people. Now, this is why I said what I said at communion. We would do well for us to remember that we too, I'm going to assume predominantly in this room, would be Gentiles, non-Jews, who for thousands of years now have been included, but once were without God and without hope, lacking in many ways. And we would do well to continually recall that we too shared the plight of the Gentiles that Paul is referring to in Ephesians 2, 11 and following. That as they were lacking in five significant aspects, so were we. Those five being that we had no relationship to Christ the Messiah. We were excluded from the national life of Israel. We had no claims to the blessings, the promises, and the worship community. And most significantly, we existed without any hope and without God. I mean, just an existence that really didn't matter without God, as Neil kind of indicated last week, that if you're dead and you have no hope of being alive, you're going to live life however you want to, right? I mean, what difference does it make? And so you do whatever you want. You exploit whomever you want. It doesn't matter because your existence has no meaning. And so Paul is reminding the Gentiles, and thousands of years later, through this letter, you and me, that we were as excluded can be, that we had no access to what God was doing. He even says, you did not know God. But then we get to that glorious but, verse 13. But through Christ, things are markedly different. The world is different. The church is different. God's kingdom is different. Even the nation of Israel is different. For those who were once excluded are now invited to be included. Can you relate to that? Those of you who related so well with being excluded, can you think of a time where you were excluded in something and now suddenly you're included? And just the joy of knowing, man, I've made it. Or I'm here. I get to experience this thing, this event, this moment that I so badly wanted to experience. And now, whatever cause, whatever reason, now I'm included. That's what Paul is saying to the Gentiles about what God is doing about his kingdom, that you were shut out of the kingdom for no other reason than just that you were not a Jew. And now the door swings wide open to you, and you are invited to participate and take advantage of everything God is doing. You have gone from being as excluded can be to being as included could be. And because Jesus' death serves all of humanity, those who have once denied access are now given full access to the kingdom. And this is what Paul's saying. Don't ever lose sight of that. Second point, to be included is an invitation to participate and to belong. To be included is an invitation to participate and to belong. Have you ever had the opportunity to physically, to have that no access rope moved for you so you can go through it? Like, you belong there. You have the You have the card, you have the invite, whatever that says, I am allowed in. What, to all those who have no access, I am granted access. Maybe it's backstage at a concert, Club 33 at Disneyland, whatever. You ever had those opportunities? I mean, in 1988, why was 1988 important? Anybody? That's right. Yeah, amen. You're all going to heaven. Amen. The Dodgers won the World Series. Kirk Gibson, I still get goosebumps every time I see the highlight and hear Vin Scully's call. I get goosebumps. A friend of mine who's a big Dodger fan still stands every time the highlight comes on. He stands in honor of it. It was a big moment. And it's the last moment the Dodgers have really had to celebrate. Right, Angels fans? I know that's what you like to say. That's fine. But in 1988, game two of the World Series, Earl Hershiser shuts out the Oakland A's. Mike Marshall hits a home run. It was beautiful. It's the game after the most famous home run in maybe baseball history, if not, of course, LA history. And I'm invited to the players' parking lot after the game. So I get to hang out with the players after the game because my dad, who is an LAPD officer, was working off-duty security there, and through him, my dad was there too, and so I was able to get in and hang out with Kirk Gibson and Earl Hershiser, shake their hand, talk to them a little bit, thank them for everything that they do and giving my life purpose and meaning, and now it'd be a totally different conversation. Hey, where you guys been for the last 20 some odd years? But hey, whatever. But I had access to this place that nobody had access to, and I felt like somebody. I felt important. I wasn't, but I sure felt that way. A couple years back, a friend of mine here has some family that works at Disneyland, and we were given the VIP seats at Fantasmic. Now, anyone that goes to Disneyland and knows that you want to see Fantasmic, if you're going in a week, you better be there now to save your spot in Fantasmic, right? Well, we were given the VIP seats, which means we were able to show up like 2 minutes before it started. And, I loved that. And I'm like, everyone that's been sitting there for 6 hours, warding off their spot, shooing away the people. And we just walk in like, hey, everybody, what are you doing? You guys should see the rest of the park. It's fun, But we felt important because we were given access to where everyone else was denied access that day. And to be granted access, to be given that invitation to participate and to belong is something, isn't it? Can you relate to that? Like you've been granted that access where nobody else or very few people that day or ever have been granted that access and to know that you belonged. See, now I don't know if the opposite of exclusion is belonging, but I do know this, that as human beings, we all need to belong somewhere because belonging means that we've been accepted. And so if we feel rejected when we're excluded, to be included means we feel accepted. I used to belong to a country club. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm not a country club person. I didn't belong there. And it was plainly obvious even when I was there. I mean, I dressed the part. And I know Brad's laughing at this, but unless Brad was there, I felt like a complete idiot at the country club. And I just felt like there were, some of the old rich dudes that were there. You're looking at me like, who let the scuzz in? And in my mind, I'm like, dude, I got the card to prove that I belong. Get over yourself. And, I probably held on to the country club membership a little bit too long because I kind of enjoyed that too. Just these old guys looking at me and my wife like, what? You guys, you don't belong here. We knew we didn't belong there. We're not country club people, but darn it, we had the card. We're like, we belong, people. Service, It's probably good I don't have it now because I'm a little more confident and I just go plop down next to those old guys like, so, what are we talking about, Anyways, the point is, I belonged. People would look at us like we didn't. They would question the sleeves on my wife's shirt, and that did happen. We had to buy a shirt, a $60 shirt in the pro shop because the sleeves didn't meet whatever. But darn it, we belonged, and that meant something because to be included means I belong. Now, I hope you believe this. And if you're here kind of checking things out, then listen to this right here. If you don't believe this at the moment, then listen to this, that there is nothing more important in which to belong than God's kingdom. There's nothing more important in which to belong than God's kingdom. Because why do I say that? Because everything else to which I have ever belonged to, anything else that I currently belong to will fade away, or it can be taken from me. But who I am in God through Christ will never fade, nor can it be taken away. And if you are in God's kingdom through faith in Christ, then anything of the world in which you belong, it will fade and it can be taken from you. But your identity as one who belongs in God's kingdom can and will never fade, or it will never fade, and it can never be taken from you. Amen? There is nothing more important in which to belong than God's kingdom. See, Jesus has taken the excluded and the included and called them all included and became peace between the two. Obviously, as we read in Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees and the other teachers of the law in the New Testament, obviously the inclusion of the Gentiles wasn't going to sit well with a few of the old school Jews who were sitting there, who let the scuzz in? And at that time, you know, they didn't have the card to show and say, hey, we belong. But the card was coming and the card was cross-shaped. See, a lot of the Jews, the teachers of the law, looked upon these Gentiles like these old rich guys in the country club looked at me and Tina. You know, where's Brad? He belongs here. You don't. Sorry, Brad, but you were my savior in those country club moments. Jesus, what Paul tells us then is that Jesus comes not only to include the excluded, but to serve as their peace, to serve as the peace, to bring peace between these two bodies of people, the Jew and the Gentile, but then also to be their peace. Oh, that the world would know Jesus and his peace, yeah? I mean, right now, oh, that the nation of Israel as it is now and the Palestinians would know Jesus as their peace. Oh, that some of these other countries in the Middle East and even our country itself would know Jesus as their peace. Oh, that we would know Jesus as our peace in our families and with our friends. I mean, Paul says if Paul can come and bring Jew and Gentile and bring them together and call them all included, and then to serve as their peace, as the source of their peace, to be that which binds them together. If we in our lives could see Christ that way as the peace that binds us together, oh, that we would know that and experience that and experience inclusion in all things. So no matter who or what of the world has excluded you, the message of this text is this, that in God's kingdom you belong. So if you're here checking things out and you don't know Jesus all that well and you just kind of, you're here for what, somehow God got you here, know this, that no matter who or what of the world has excluded you, the message of this text is that God's kingdom, in God's kingdom, you belong. Your identity today can be, I belong to somebody and to something. That Jesus gave his life in order that you might be included and reap the benefits and the promises of being his child. There no longer exists a barrier, any barrier, keeping you from participating in God's kingdom. For in Christ, all access has been granted, for you have already been accepted. There's no longer an us versus them mentality. Paul says this to the Galatians, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. Paul is not saying we no longer exist as men and women or as Jew or Greek or American. He's not saying that we no longer exist as these things, but he's saying that no longer any of those a barrier to salvation and deliverance in God's kingdom. That no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, God's kingdom is open to you. Inclusion in God's kingdom is available to you at all times. Accepting the invitation of inclusion does not simply mean, however, that you only reap the benefits. This is where a lot of people stop. I want the benefits. But what we lose sight of or not really give a lot of consideration to is not only do we then get to reap the benefits if we accept the invitation of inclusion, but we're also called to the obligation of obedience. See, this was the rub to the Jews. Why do they, the non-Jew, get to just come in and experience all the promises and blessings that we've been working toward? We had to stick to this law, God. We had to follow all these regulations, and they just get to walk in. Yep. That's grace. But now there is an obligation of obedience that a changed life, this alive life, as Neil alluded to last week, calls to a life that testifies to this new life that is alive, if that makes sense. That there should be evidence in your life that you are now alive in Christ, that your life should be different from when you were excluded to now when you are included. And so now, as Darren taught a couple of weeks ago and read out of Matthew chapter 7, that Jesus says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, you take my teaching and you put them into practice, then you're like the wise man who built your house on the rock. Then the storms of life, the cares of life happen, and you're able to endure it because your life has been built on the rock. You have a strong foundation. So not only as we accept the invitation of being included, and many of us have been included for many years, but maybe haven't given consideration that we have not been really all that obedient. The lives that we live do not testify to this supposed being alive in Christ. And so what Jesus is telling us is that if you are a follower of Christ, you apply his teachings to your life in all things. That's what being the Lord means. You see, we can call him Lord and Savior all we want, but if we don't follow his teachings, he's not Lord of anything. And he is Lord. And he is judge. And he reigns over all things. And the call is to be obedient and to apply his teachings to your life. And as you do, you grow in your faith and you strive to become more like him in every day and in every situation. Now, this doesn't save you, but a truly saved person by grace who understands what he or she has now been given through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus responds to Jesus' invitation of inclusion with a life of obedience. This is what Paul wants those who had no hope and were far from God to remember, that through Jesus you've been brought to a place that you've never imagined possible, near to the Father. Now act like you belong. Like I needed to do in a country club. You belong here, act like it. I didn't take advantage of half the things that were available. I wouldn't go into the locker room. I just felt like this is a place I don't belong. This is where only members belong. You know, I was a member, but I never took advantage of that. And God is saying, take advantage of everything. It's open to you. The access to everything is yours. Finally, Jesus is inviting me to belong as his dwelling place. Verse 18 is kind of the linchpin here, that through Christ you have been given access to God the Father by the Spirit of God. And so what Paul is saying to the original audience, these Gentiles, is that you who previously had no hope and no God and lived your lives accordingly, meaning you lived your lives sexually free however you wanted to, you were selfish and narcissistic, you didn't care who you stepped on and exploited to get above anyone. I mean, you would cheat people. It didn't matter. You had no ethic, no morals. You had no moral calibration. You had no compass to dictate what was right and what was wrong. You had no God. And Jesus now serves as that, as the perfect example of what it looks like to be one of God's people. And Jesus is inviting us now to belong as his dwelling place. See, through Israel, God intended to rise up a nation of priests, rise up men and women who would serve their God, Yahweh, and others as a holy people, leading others to the love and the grace of God. And this plan has not been aborted after all this time. Rather, it now includes all those who belong, you and me, the Gentiles, who belong and call Jesus their Lord, those who apply the teachings to their lives, and Savior. And this enduring invitation is to belong to the heavenly city, to the kingdom of God, and then you can be fellow citizens with God's people. And what happens then? When we belong to a greater community, it leads to a greater sense of purpose in life, and it serves as motivation and leads to better health and contentment. So what's this mean to you today as I wrap this up? It depends upon your relationship with God. For those who believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord and Messiah, it means you are full-fledged, card-carrying members of the household. You have access to the throne, Hebrews 4:16. And Paul reminds the Corinthians, says, don't you know that you are the dwelling place, that you're God's dwelling place? You are now God's temple. The Spirit lives in you. You are the presence of God in a world that does not know him. If you are still far from God in Christ, hear this. The invitation to participate is there. It's there for the taking. The invitation exists and satisfies a base human need to belong, to be accepted, to belong and be accepted by somebody or by something or both. And your identity today can be in Christ that you belong. Who are you? I am one that belongs. Darren said a couple weeks ago, I am God's possession. Last week, I am alive. And because of that, I belong. You, by accepting the invitation into the kingdom to be included in what God has been doing for thousands upon thousands of years, you can belong to something greater than you can ever imagine today. And no matter who excludes you in life from here on out, you belong to the most important thing that exists in which to belong, the kingdom of God. Will you stand with me? Access to the Father is there. Jesus opened that door. That's what we see if you read the Gospels. At the end of the Gospels, you know, upon Jesus' death, the temple curtain is ripped in two. That's basically the message, that access to the Father now exists to those who believe. What are you doing with that access? Are you living that abundant life that we talked about a couple weeks ago? Do you call him Jesus Lord, but you've not applied anything of his teachings to your life? Are you here just seeking and you found your way into the church and today may be convinced, you know, I want to belong to something great. I want to belong to this kingdom of God. Come forward. There'll be some volunteers up here. As people are leaving, no one's going to be watching you. Come on up here. It's a safe environment. There'll be some volunteers to just receive you and to pray with you and to meet that need and let you know, you know what? You belong today. And maybe you can walk in here today being excluded from something important and leaving today included in the most important thing the universe knows, the kingdom of God. Will you pray with me? God, we do thank you for including us. We thank you for Jesus and his faithfulness and opening the door for all of us to have access to you. And God, thank you. That access means we can come to you, God, and you will receive us, that you will honor us, you will bless us, and that we have been found righteous in your eyes through the blood of Christ. May we never lose sight of that. As Paul reminds the Gentiles, remember where you once were before Christ. And now that we have Christ, may we live that life, a testifying life, that we are alive in him and we belong to something great. So God, may we be obedient to you and your call on our life and just enjoy the fact that we are included in the greatness that is your kingdom. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.